Alrighty. Hello, hello, hello.
Fun.
Why? What's up with your neck?
It hurts.
What'd you do?
Slept on the wrong pillow the last two nights.
You fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah, but it was hurting before that. It was hurting before that.
Got a crick in your neck.
This has happened before, and I really think it's sleeping on the wrong pillow. I have my Tempur-Pedic pillow that I've slept on for about 5 years now. And when I don't, actually, that's not true, because when I've traveled, I haven't had it, and I've slept. I don't know what happened. Anyway, it hurts.
Got to sleep on the right pillow.
Big crick in my neck. And if you're not watching this, if you're listening, you will hear the baby is eating in my arms. Not on the boob, from a bottle, by the way. But yeah, if you hear some suckling, that's what's going on.
Yes, Tyson is eating. So what's up? What have you been up to? What are you doing? What's up with your life?
Just taking care of this little human being in my arms who is now 10 weeks as of yesterday.
10 weeks.
Bigger. He is a little man now, not a newborn infant.
Yes.
That's definitely a full-time job, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you can attest to that by just...
I get a few hours here and there by myself when you're... out getting your nails done or working out or doing whatever it is that you need to do.
Yeah. Which I'm very appreciative that you let me go do all that. Some women, I feel like they'll be like for months or years, like I haven't had a day
really?
Myself. Oh, yeah.
Why not? Is that because that's just the routine that couples get into? Or is that because the woman doesn't say, take the child while I go take care of myself for a couple hours? Or
I think...
guys just aren't interested in babies, or what's the
combination of both? I think the biggest one is probably mom guilt. They feel bad leaving the child.
Yeah.
I feel like they're kind of tied to them in a way and they're fully responsible. And then I think mix that with a little bit of men not wanting to fully, you know, take over for a couple hours. So,
so you guys feel guilty when you're not with your child.
Yeah, and then it's actually very strange now to leave and not have him, because I kind of do this like double take in my mind of like, wait, I'm not supposed to have him, right? Like where is he? Okay, yeah, he's with Tyler. Like he's not in the backseat of my car. So yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy that all he really needs is milk and affection, and he's done really well.
Yeah.
You've done really well too. Not that I had any expectations, like I've said before, but if I did have any expectations, you would have exceeded them, you know? So
really?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think so.
In
I think.
What ways do you think?
I don't know. You're just very attentive. You're, you know, you're up two or three times during the night to take care of them, and you're very responsive and reactive to it. You've, gone on the not attack, but you've gone on the you've read a couple books, you're trying to do your research and trying to do your due diligence of what you think is best. And kind of what I've heard from all sorts of people is just like, you know, every kid is different. You're basically in survival mode, all of you guys, and there's no like real handbook on how to do all this as a family, you know what I mean? So there is books or things you can reflect back to try to maybe have a plan or an agenda, you know, or some sort of guidance. But it's kind of each person is different, each family is different, so it's case by case scenario. So
yeah.
we've had to find out what works for us. Had to find out kind of what works for him and not letting him work us over. And, you know, yeah, sometimes when he gets really tired or before he falls asleep and he gets cranky and he's wailing for a little bit, it's hard to see your child. And as a dad, I feel like helpless that I can't console him, or I can't. I mean, I guess sometimes, you know, eventually you just got to cry it out until he rest or until he gets so tired that he falls asleep. But
yeah, but we definitely,
it's hard to see that
we hold him, we console him. We're in the, like, I think we're kind of getting past it, but we were in the witching hour phase.
So okay, yeah, so let's talk about like what we had to do for this whole witching hour and what it is. And
so, yeah, I think when the witching hour first started, we definitely both did not know what it was. I remember the day that it would happen. It was the day we were watching the Nickelodeon documentary, and he was just so fussy that night. And I'm like, what is going on? We were both passing him back and forth, trying to burp him. I don't know. It was just, I was like, he's farting in my lap, just in case you can hear that.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know, that's not me. There's the baby. Okay. Anyway, so that's kind of when it started, and it was around 5 weeks. So the research I've done has been witching hours typically around 5 to 9 weeks is when it lasts. And obviously towards the end of the night when they get fussy, they've had a whole day. They don't know what's going on. They're fighting their sleep. And we've just had to deal with it. But honestly, it hasn't been that bad. What are your thoughts on it?
He's just screaming at the top of his lungs. I'm like, man, I'm like, you all right? You got something? You hung up somewhere, dude? You good? Hanging on to what's going on with them? You all right?
Well, so then when it started happening every night, then we're like, okay, what is this? So we looked it up and, yep, it's the witching hour, or purple cry is another name for it. But the remedy
purple cries?
Purple cry. I don't know why.
You're in the trenches, man.
Why? Because his face turns purple.
After Kayla goes for about 30 minutes or 30 minutes of... I like come in there. Yeah. I'm like, you ready?
As far as finding remedies, so the things he likes. Yes,
that's what I wanted to talk about. Is
he likes sitting by running water. So as soon as I turn that bath water, I turn on the bathtub, and he seems to calm down, and that calms him down. Another thing is going on a walk calms him down too. So then we took preventative measures, and I started taking him on a walk before that time, so that way,
yeah, kind of distract him for a little bit.
I would go down to our pool because there's fountains, and so I take him down there to prevent that from happening. So I would say it hasn't been too terrible. I mean, the stories that people have told us about their experiences of like being awake all night or just it lasting for a long time, that hasn't really been our experience. What do you think the longest it lasts? So like an hour, like at the most?
Yeah, hour, over maybe a little over an hour.
Just like off and on, kind of.
Yeah, it's just that.
Like the last two nights, he hasn't really done it.
It's just that time when it gets really intense for 15, 20 minutes. And you're like, everything all right? Like, sounds like he's hurting. Like, is he hurting? And so sad. But that's just the baby. That's just what he's going through at the moment. So
you came in one day. I was in there in the room with him, and you were like, do you want earplugs? And I said, no, I don't know. I don't want to drown out my baby's cries. I don't know why that makes me feel bad.
When you had him on your chest right here and he was right here screaming in your ear, I was like, put an earplug in. Like,
I don't know why.
Saying like both. Not, you don't have to put two earplugs in and ignore your child.
Yeah, like, I know.
But if someone's going, it's like, they're like, oh, dude, all right. Like, shove that, put that earplug in and. It's all right. Keep going, bud. Like, put the earplug in. And
I feel guilty about it. Like, I would just let him cry in my ear and whatever. Who else? Oh, well. So we got past that.
I'm trying to save my hearing. My hearing's already screwed up enough.
We got past that. What else? Oh, I did try a little sleep training action, but I think we've kind of had to ease back on that a little bit for a little while, maybe a couple more weeks.
Yeah. He's getting there. He's sleeping in his own bed.
That's good. We've definitely made progress, and he's not bad at all, but I was trying to get him on like a strict routine schedule, and I've just had a lot of people reach out to me saying, you know, 8 weeks is a little too early.
Yeah, it's hard to be strict with an 8-week-year-old baby.
The book made me think it was possible.
A lot of books will make you think a lot of things. Got to be careful about what you read.
Yeah. Well, and I did have a few people say that they did it around 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and their baby did, you know, adjust to it. So I was trying it out. That didn't quite work quite yet. But, I mean, the goal is to get him on the 12-hour a night sleeping through the night. So we'll see.
Do you think babies need 12 hours? I think it's best to get good sleep.
Yeah.
He needs to just grow up. I only run off 6 or 7 sometimes. So,
I mean,
you don't need all that sleep, son. I got to grow up and be a man. Got to get up early and make haste while the sun shines, son.
We're not making haste anytime soon. Oh, my goodness. But he's looking at me.
So every time we have a podcast, we put a picture in the frame. And today we have a picture of me and you in the frame, as we sometimes do.
We always do. It's our podcast.
Okay, well.
Okay, it's your picture. You have to explain. You picked it out.
This was us, and this was our trip to New York City. This was right on your birthday.
2023. Yeah, 2020.
Okay. At the beginning of 2023, January 23, we were in New York City for Kayla's birthday, and she took me to Times Square and Central Park and Top of the Rock. And I'd never been in New York City before. And
touristy places.
It was a spectacle, to say the least. When I was there, I was like, man, I'm actually very grateful to grow up in Oklahoma and grow up in a suburb of Oklahoma City. It just made me feel like maybe I got the right, I was nurtured, you know, I had really good teachers. I didn't live a fast paced life. Yeah. The life
fast
that,
there,
for sure. Yeah, it's very fast paced and, city never sleeps. So it's like,
I mean, it's just different. I mean, especially if you live in the city, you obviously live in a building, no yard.
No grass.
There's no grass. You go out, walk out the door to your school bus, or if they're even, I don't even know if school buses go in the streets. Anyways, we saw.
Yeah, they did. I saw some kids getting off there.
Okay. Yeah, so super weird.
They weren't huge school buses. They're a little bit smaller.
Yeah, short buses.
City bus, a little short bus.
So yeah, we went to New York. I love New York. It's one of my favorite places to visit, honestly. I do get this little itch for like a fast-paced hustle and bustle, roaming the streets of New York. You know, it's never sleep. So we could walk around at 3 a.m. and people are still out.
Screaming and yelling obscenities. And like,
I'm never ready to go home after like 4 days.
People are like just yelling curse words and I don't know what's going on. Everybody honks as they drive through the intersection. Your horn works, trust me.
So do you think you could live there for a year?
Yeah, I could live anywhere, but I could live there for a year.
Yeah, I could live anywhere.
Yeah, I could live there.
Do you think so?
It would. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So, but this picture was taken at the 9/11 memorial, and so it was raining that night. We wanted to go see the 9/11 memorial, but it was raining and we were like, oh, we don't want to go out there.
We were stuck in the Oculus. We were hanging out in the Oculus. So
we were hanging out in that awesome building and Kayla was trying to find an umbrella and she's walking around all these stores, couldn't find an umbrella. So we're like, you know what? We're only here for a little while. Let's just go out in the rain, go over to the 9/11 memorial. And as soon as we walked over there in the rain, nobody around. There wasn't anyone around, which for the middle of New York City is like, why is there no one around? This is strange. I looked down on the actual memorial, floating was an umbrella flipped upside down on the water. And I said, Kayla, look. You're like, oh my goodness. I said, that's destiny.
I mean, just far enough where we could reach it. We had to kind of reach over a little bit.
I had to reach
out. So if you've ever been to the memorial, obviously the outside part where all the names are, right inside of it, there's like, you know, a little drop down and that has water in it. And then obviously the big
for about 3 or 4 feet,
yeah,
you know, for it.
So yeah, this black umbrella just right where we walked up to. Just be like, here, Kayla, I got this for you. Wink, wink.
So I popped open that umbrella and we took some photographs and we stayed dry. And
we still have that umbrella.
I think it was only us and the police officers that were out there that night for a while.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. It's kind of cool being all dreary and it was kind of foggy. So the buildings, you can like totally see the tops of the buildings. And then I thought it was cool though. I thought it was cool. We had to see it. You were only there for a short amount of time. So that was cool. That was our New York experience. And then we went to New Jersey for a night. That was when you're doing half my birthday, half Ashley's baby shower. So how did we get? Oh, we took a train. We took a train to, in New Jersey. We were kind of hungover the next morning because we stayed out pretty late. I'm tired of squirming.
Riding on the train, you're hungover is horrible.
Remember the restaurant that we ate at with the little show that we had afterward? You want to talk about the show that we watched?
It was just it was a drag show. And what about it?
Oh, it wasn't really a drag show. It was
maybe it's not a drag show, but there was one drag queen there.
This duo that's like a guy DJ and then this a drag queen, and they're like a duo that they go around and do their shows, but they just do sing.
Yeah, she was entertaining.
Yeah, she was like entertaining the crowd. So it was kind of like that, but it was funny.
Yeah, she was cool. It was good.
Have you ever seen a drag queen before?
Yeah.
In person?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. In person, you've seen one.
Yeah. I used to go to them all the time.
What?
What? Just kidding. No, I've been to one or two.
Okay.
I used to live down in by the gay district.
Oh, so in Oklahoma.
Yeah. I guess it's not a...
Is it cool?
Yeah, yeah. We went there one night. My buddy Jared, you know, he's like a big alpha male guy. Yeah.
Okay.
And we met a bunch of friends there.
Okay, just making sure. It wasn't just you and guys.
I can do whatever I want. I'm a grown man. If I want to go hang out down at the gay club, or if I want to go hang out at a drag show, I'm good. We're good. It ain't no thing. No, but I was there with a bunch of friends one time. Okay, I'll be honest. I've only been to a show like that like once or twice. But we were there with a bunch of friends. And of course, my alpha male friend Jared's like right down in the front. And so he was getting a lot of attention. And he got really kind of uncomfortable, you know. And
you can't sit in the front.
It was funny. It was really funny. I was like, out of all the people that deserve that attention, it was him.
So was it the brunch or was it the just that night?
It was definitely not during the daytime.
Oh, I went to they do like a Sunday brunch there.
Well, they're up and at them. They're ready.
It's called like church. It's called like something church. Because it's on Sunday.
That's a little deceiving.
That sounds like on Sunday. We did that and it was deceiving. So funny. We took Andrew there, Rachel's ex.
Yeah.
Oh man, he had to go on stage and everything.
He had to, or he wanted to. No one has to go on stage.
He didn't have to, but they called people out of the audience. They brought.
He ran up there. He jumped up there as the first one.
They brought like 4 or 5 people up there, and they like definitely picked on him. It was funny.
He showed up next weekend. Just kidding.
Sorry, Andrew, you're listening to this. Nothing will be. Actually, I'm sure something will be. I've been to 2 other ones. Hamburger Mary's.
I've heard. I think you've told me about that.
Yeah, that was in Tampa. Before I lived here, way before I lived here, I was visiting. And to do that, that was, that was intense. And also in Miami, there's a brunch place. It's called, what's that one called? Oh, BB House. Anyways, that was a spectacle as well. That was fun. Anyways. That's our drag show. Oops. But so that was New York. Way before this little guy was ever a thought in our mind. Right?
Not way before.
Couple 6 months?
Way before.
Oh, it's your birthday month. It's your birthday
yeah,
month.
Yeah, come.
Are you excited to turn another year old?
No. I think I'd want to be 29 forever. 29's good.
What were you doing at 29? I mean, do you really want to go back to being 29?
Yeah, I'll be 29 forever. Would be good.
Never quite 30.
Yeah, never 30.
I love 30. I don't know
why. Really?
I would be 30 forever.
Good.
Not that I want to relive my 30-year-old year, but.
Good, because I want to be younger than you and you can be older.
Apparently. Yeah, so I don't know what we're doing, but I love birthdays, celebrating birthdays. Not never, but we won't top last year, this year at least.
You don't think so?
If I can get away with surprising you with all your friends.
I need to be surprised. Okay. I don't need to be surprised to have a good time.
What's a good time to you for your birthday?
I just like everybody being together. That's what's special. Yeah. It's like you always have everyone's like, oh, I'm busy. I got to do this. Or it's got so much going on. And it's like, so whenever I get everybody together, all my people together, it's like, that's what I want. So last year on my birthday, when everybody was on the boat, me looking around and seeing my brother-in-law talking to our friends, Chris and Chloe, or, you know, like just all the friends that hadn't met yet and don't have those deep relationships. It's like everybody on that boat, like I love and have feelings for. So to see them creating relationships and bonds, it's like, that's what I want.
Yeah, that's your thing. You like people. You like your friends and your family, and you have really good relationships. Yeah, that was cool because I feel like everyone didn't just stick to who they came with. It was like everyone kind of
split up and kind of, it's good.
Good.
This episode is sponsored by KiwiCo. We have a 9-week-old, and when we first opened our panda crate, he was looking at everything with wide eyes. His favorite was the playmat with the mirror and loved looking at himself. KiwiCo Panda Crate is a bi-monthly subscription for babies ages 0 to 24 months for brain building made fun. All of their products are BPA-free, non-toxic, and using only water-based paints and finishes. Since he's so young right now, we are utilizing the tummy time cushion and mirror. I love that he gets to work on his neck strength while looking at different shapes and colors to engage his sense of vision. He really liked looking at himself in the distorted mirror. This was basically his first time exploring his developmental skills, so I knew I wanted something that would help his vision, hearing, and gross motor skills. We can't wait to continue learning and improving with the other crates as he gets older, especially the music and language one. We knew we wanted Montessori type learning, and KiwiCo is just that. It supports and nurtures his rapid development with products that support child-led play, encourage open-ended exploration, and engaging learning. Unlock brain-building play with KiwiCo Panda Crate. Get 20% off your first month with code HABITS at kiwico.com/panda. That's 20% off your first month at kawico.com/panda with promo code HABITS.
Yeah, that's good because I think that all those people on there are really good people, and so they all need good people in their lives. So,
yeah, and they all live here, which I was just thinking about this earlier. Yeah. The times have changed as far as hanging out with people, and it's so sad. Like I was just thinking earlier, there's a particular friend, I will not call her out, but like we live very close to each other, and every week we're like, we're going to get together. And we never do. And earlier I was just thinking like, what's up with just, why can't I just show up at your house and walk in your door? Like, hey, what's up? It's like, that's so,
or vice versa.
That's a weird thing to do now. It's like,
yeah, that's true. Just to show up to someone.
They want to.
We would just show up at someone's house. Like we would show up at my great grandpa and great grandma's house if we happen to be out that way, and you just thought through, oh, who's here?
Well, first of all, she has a gated entry, so I'd have to like call the gate. She would know it's me.
She's really trying to keep you out.
But yeah, it's so sad to me. Like I just miss the times where you can just walk into someone's house, hang out, not be a big deal, not have to schedule a month.
So you're having like friends, you're having community, you're doing art, you're making noodle necklaces. Wait, we're talking about being at
retirement.
You got to wait till you're retired to have all those friends and fun.
Like Granny says, potato necklaces.
Oh, that's what it was. Potato necklaces.
She's like, he will never catch me making a potato necklace.
Yeah, all that fun. You got to wait till you're old
It's like you do it when you're super young and then when you're super old. And this weird in between time, there's this whole, we got to schedule a coffee date and I'm too busy for an hour. And everyone's phones are their friends now. People would rather be sitting at home on their phone, looking at the world than being with the people in the world.
We're all dumbed down. Everybody's dumbed down.
Yeah.
The cell phones were made to, you know, to make our lives better. They were supposed to help us out. When we were young and we were in school, they would say, you know, you got to take this calculator with you. You got to. So it's like now you have your phone, you got your calculator, you got your social media, got your flashlight. Yeah.
Everything is on it. Super convenient now these days. Yep. So I don't know.
In my opinion, when the people or whoever is, you know, up above, in my opinion, they want you looking down. They don't want you looking up.
The people above want you looking down, not up, huh?
You want your strength. And it's the same thing what's happening in politics, and it's the same thing that's happening with this country right now is We've been infiltrated, whether it's from China or Russia. They're playing the long game. We're Americans are so caught up on instant gratification and being seen and heard right now. And what I'm doing right now, this second, needs to be recognized versus I understand that this may take a long time and having that long view, whereas those people in those other countries have a long-term plan. I wouldn't say it's to destroy us, but I would say it's to cause internal conflict amongst us. And whenever that happens, that's how you're able to unsettle a nation. If everybody's unsettled and everybody's pointing fingers at each other, then that's easy to take over. It's easy to manipulate a large group of people. So, you know, it started in colleges and things like that. The whole, I don't know if I would say like woke culture, but and even like online, as far as Democrat versus Republican, it's like used to, there wasn't that much, decisiveness or that much between the two parties. You know, now it's like, oh, you're Democrat, you're we hate each other. Like back in the day, we could still all sit in the same room and at the end of the night after the vote or after the presidential debates happen, you're still sitting in the same room with people that might not agree with the person that you're voting for, but you're all still good. Now it's so divisive. So divisive that we can't even agree to disagree.
Right.
And all that, I don't think, stems from the Democrats or Republicans. It stems from other people getting in the middle of this and putting out false information or trying to get attention or try to create a buzz so that someone clicks on and someone sends it to somebody else. And then, so I just try to remain neutral in all that stuff, because even let's say that you are a Democrat or Republican, like, okay, you only have two candidates to choose from, A or B. So you're either A or you're B. It's like, it's hard to put all of us in this entire country in group A or group B. That's not how it is. That's not how we think. Things are so much more complicated than that.
Yeah, it's not black and white. It's gray, but they make us choose black, basically.
They just want us festering. They just want us upset with each other.
Yeah, they want to distract us behind the scenes are like, ha, 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 like what we're doing.
There's a lot of farmland that's being bought by China right now. And it's like, why are we selling our land to another country so that they can farm? It's like, we already put so much into China as far as we get a lot of medications from there, all those surgical masks. You can walk around in your home and you can see how many things in your home are actually made in China. And it's like, that whole country is not bad country or good. It's the people that are running that country see the people as the number of people that they have is a resource, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're willing to use those people as a resource. And I don't know if you look at people like that, if that's a healthy way to look at things. You know, how much is a person's life worth? And they're willing to risk a lot of their own people's lives. And what are they willing to do with other people that are all the way across the world? You know, my grandmother told me, Tyler, when I was a kid, China was sending lead paint toys to the United States. And all the kids had lead filled toys, you know, and it's like poisonous. Well, what are they doing now? You know,
dun, dun.
It's been a long time ago.
Well, you shouldn't say it on the podcast. I don't know. To me, I truly just stay out of all that.
Well,
I don't know if that's good.
Ignorance is bliss. You know, just because you're ignorant to something doesn't mean it's happening.
Doesn't mean it's not happening.
Doesn't mean it's not taking place.
Right. And I know that. It's just one of those things where I can't control it. I can't control if it does or doesn't happen. And so
you have a platform and you're able to use your platform and you're able to speak on what you do know and share the information that you do know to be true.
Yeah. But
so we all as people, we have a certain, the truth needs to be told, you know, and the truth needs to be said. And
yeah, but look at what happens to the people that tell the truth.
It's not true.
Sometimes.
If you believe in Christianity and you believe that Jesus Christ told the truth, sure. Okay, he was a martyr, but look what came from that. A whole religion.
Yeah.
So if you believe in something, you need to stand up for what you believe in. Or if you don't have anything to believe in, then don't stand up for anything.
There's just things that I know I can't take on. Like, man, I can't take on China. I can't take
on. Well, it's not. No one's asking you to.
There's certain things I just don't get involved in. I think emotionally, for me to protect my peace, I think I don't get involved in, especially politics. Like, I just can't even. I can't even go down there. And so I, like you said, I remain neutral. Like, I obviously have my stance and what I believe. I just don't publicly go around talking about it because I just, it's not worth my time, effort, peace of mind for people to attack me for what I am going to say. And so I'm just like, you have your stance. I have mine. Like, we can still be friends. Like, I have friends that think very opposite of me, but I'm not going to defriend them or, you know, say they're wrong and I'm right. So I just try to remain neutral, and I control what I can control. And that's my inner peace. That's my family. That's my day, my habits. I haven't really found that one thing that I'm super had like this huge belief that I have to go and spread it all around, I guess, as far as like, politically or socially, you know. So,
well, mental health, I guess.
Well, yeah, mental health, but that's not really a huge, like, no one really debates over mental health.
I'd say people just now brought it to the forefront of,
I say,
people conversation,
or they don't. Whereas, like, politics, it's like there's obviously two opposing sides, and you're gonna butt heads with someone if you go and debate them, but you don't really find anyone that's like so against mental health that they're gonna debate you on it. You
know? Well, there's no being against mental health. It's just a thing.
That's what I'm saying. So that mental health is my thing. So I'm not.
I mean, what in mental health? That's, mental health is just a topic. What do you mean that's my thing? Like,
so what you said. Like, talk about, you know, the importance of therapy, the importance of self-awareness, kind of going down that like healing journey that you need to understand yourself, taking part in, like I said, therapy, journaling, however you meditate, all the things. Yeah. So that's kind of, that's my, and Tyson agrees. Yeah. That's like, that's my thing. So as far as like, again, socially, I just keep my mouth shut, really. I just keep my mouth
shut. I would say if mental health is a concern for you, or it's a big topic in your life, then I would say that would be your social topic would be mental health. So that is a social subject.
Yeah, that is social. I'm talking about like abortion or civil rights, or
I don't think there's much
equality. Like, that's the stuff that I just don't even talk about. Transgender, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get into all that. All the mainstream stuff that is actually going on right now as far as gender and politics.
So there's just stuff that you don't really care to talk about, really?
Yeah. I think for me, it's more about saving myself the animosity that it could cause.
Somebody else or you?
Me.
So you don't want to touch those subjects or speak on those subjects or use your platform to talk about those subjects because you don't want to be ridiculed for the way that you think about them.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good or bad, but
this is your platform and you can choose to talk about whatever it is that you want. If you want to steer away from subjects, then you're, that's okay. And if, you know, you want to get into it, then that's okay too.
Yeah. And I have my beliefs. It's not like I don't have beliefs or thoughts about them. I just choose not to say them
about them. What do you mean?
The subjects.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. You said it. I don't. About beliefs subject. About them.
Yeah. Like, I have all my beliefs about where I stand when it comes to social thing, the social norms of, as far as, you know, in politics, they kind of have where they, what they believe in socially. So speaking of your birthday, which is May 29th.
Memorial weekend every year. Actually, this year it's on a Wednesday. So
that's right. So
yes, it's on a weekday this time.
We'll celebrate
hump day. Yes.
What, bro?
Finally, I get a hump day to myself. So
what you gonna be wanting to do that day?
Ride a camel.
Hump day. All right, so we want to talk about what you are launching on your birthday.
Well, I don't know. Launching, I guess, is the right word, but I've been working on a book. And it's so I've been working on a book of short stories, and they're not my stories, they're my father's stories, and they're a firsthand account of just some silly short stories that he has written about coincidences in his life and things that have happened to him. And so the last year and a half or so, he was incarcerated, and me and my dad talked on the phone, you know, every other day. We talked a lot. And he oftentimes was the voice of reason for me throughout my whole life. And that last year and a half, I was kind of a voice of reason for him. And so, you know, we talked all the time, and he had a bunch of ideas, and he actually got to accomplish some things in there while he had all the time to do it. And I told him, it's like, you know, you said, I always wanted to read more. I always wanted to, you know, write a book. I always wanted to invent stuff and work on my designs more. And I'm like, you know, now you got the time to do it. So while he had the time, even though it was a horrible place where he was, and his story is really incredible, and we've talked about that on past podcasts, and I'll continue to probably share that story. Essentially, I gathered all his writings that, you know, he wrote about coincidences, and this is the book that we have put together. So I have I have a really good friend of mine who graduated from writing school at the University of Oklahoma. We played basketball together. Tyler Worsham, shout out to him. He's an awesome person. And him and his wife used to work for a publishing company, and he kind of guided me through this process of creating this book. Kayla, you were really helpful. You helped a lot during this process. My friend Ben Saucier, who I've been working with in Saucier Studios, we do a bunch of artwork and stuff together. He's a really incredible person. He did the cover. He also did the back. So he's working on a lot of illustrations for us in our books that we have coming out. And yeah, so this is about 19 different short stories in here. The book is entitled Coincidental, and that will be available on my birthday. We'll have that where you can buy it. It's like $13 on Amazon, and that'll be the first of many. I think it kind of, you know, I don't know. It's really awesome to look at it. I was kind of getting emotional today looking at it, and just thinking about what it took, you know, to get here.
Yeah, that's so exciting about the book. I feel like I didn't do much. I told you how to kind of translate it, and then helped you with the cover. Well, not, I didn't do the cover, but I helped you put it all together on Amazon. So that'll be available on Amazon on May 29th. Tyson, say bye-bye to the camera. Tyson had to leave the room. He had to go get in his swing. You little bastard. That thing looks so comfortable. I want to swing all day like that. Like a hammock.
Yeah. I think we have hammocks right downstairs.
No, I should. Can I go there every other hour for 2 hours of sleep?
Do whatever you want. My dad used to say, you can do whatever you want. There may or may not be consequences to the things you do, though. That's what he used to say. You don't want to go to school? Don't go to school. You don't have to. You really don't. Don't go. See what happens. That's what he used to tell me. I'd be like, if you don't want to go to school, don't go. Don't do it. I'm like, better go to school. No, you don't.
So I don't want to pay those bills I have.
But you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. But there may or may not be consequences. So you just have to remember the consequences.
Who's setting these consequences?
Whoever you're not paying.
Okay, what if it's not? What if it's something else?
What do you mean?
What if it's not ever going to take Berkeley out ever again?
You don't have to, but he just might poop all over the carpet. You don't mind a little poop all over the place, a little pee?
God.
Poor guy.
No, I would never do that to Berkeley.
And the consequence is he'd be mad at you.
Okay, what?
Your favorite rapper has been under a lot of stress lately. So,
your favorite rapper has been under a lot of heat, too.
So, hold on.
Obsessed with P. Diddy.
First off, I'm not obsessed with P. Diddy. I'm obsessed with the entire situation what's going on. I'm
obsessed with the situation.
Okay.
Every day it's like, guess what happened to P. Diddy?
No, but you guys, everybody needs to understand, like, okay, this Kendrick and Drake rap beef. What's that about? Kendrick is your homie.
Wait, so who are you saying is my favorite? Kendrick?
Drake. And Kendrick's going to be pissed when he hears that. He's probably going to come out with another. Kayla knows Kendrick. They used to be buddies, whatever. They hung out before. You still like Drake over Kendrick? Wow.
Just love Drake's music. I like Kendrick's too.
If I'm picking, just know. I'm team Kendrick.
Just know
if I got to pick teams, we got to go red or blue or whatever.
Pick teams, I'll pick Kendrick.
Wow, that didn't seem like you were really down to ride earlier.
No, I like him. I like his wife. His wife's cool. His wife used to do my eyelashes.
Yeah. Oh.
But
So what do you think about the whole rap beef? Like, who started it? What happened? You've been down the rabbit hole more than me. I haven't heard any of the songs. You've heard the songs. I haven't heard any of them.
I used to do this yesterday. I was like, I don't even know when this started. But I obviously have heard a couple songs and, you know, the Google image of Drake's house being say it's owned by Kendrick. And I don't know what happened, though. You told me something about, the whole, like, comparing themselves to Michael Jackson and Prince. And
I think that's how it started. I don't know all the facts. I don't have the facts. You know more than me. I'm sure you do. But Kendrick was comparing himself to Prince, and he said something like, I'm Prince or something, and compared Drake to Michael Jackson, like the king of pop. And it's true. It's like he's kind of like the king of pop right now. I think that Kendrick was comparing the two, and he said, yeah, sure, you can be Michael Jackson. I'm Prince. Everybody knows Michael Jackson was the king of pop. He was the biggest thing, but Prince may have been not as big or didn't get as big. But if you go back and look at his music and his lyrics and his songs, his music, he was saying that he's actually more talented, that he's more of an artist than Michael Jackson. It's kind of so that's what Kendrick is saying. Like, hey, listen, I'll never get to the stardom that you'll probably get to, but
he doesn't want that.
But if you go back and look at my stuff, you'll see that I wrote all my stuff and I made all my stuff and this is me. Whereas now they've come out and said that Drake has had a lot of ghostwriters, which in the industry, I think a lot of people have ghostwriters. You always have writers, you know? So, but the thing is, you can't be somebody. And Drake has even admitted to having ghostwriters and some of his verses, he's talked about it. And so but you can't pretend that you don't, or can't say that you don't, and can't claim that everything is yours if it's not.
What he's doing?
I think that may be some of the issue, but I think more so what the issue is now is that everybody thinks that Drake is just run by the industry guys. And, you know, there's been a lot of people come out that say, like, his boss, which I won't name his name, but he's pretty much his... his LG. Sugar daddy.
LG.
So that they say that he's his sugar daddy.
You can't say.
Well, I'm just saying. And so you think that this isn't like the big deal, or that I'm obsessed with Diddy, or that. But the thing that I now recognize and I now understand about all of this stuff that's going on is the hip hop. And even Suge Knight said this from jail, and Suge Knight was P. Diddy's rival, you know, Death Row Records. It's a sad day for hip hop, he said, when that stuff happened with Diddy. And the reason why it's and that's his competition, or that's, he's saying it's a very extremely sad day for hip hop. And the reason why it's sad is because now everybody knows the truth that this is all smoke and mirrors. This is all fake. Like, all this stuff that you see, Drake is from Canada. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, You want to talk about, I mean, I maybe there are some ghettos and some hoods and stuff there, and maybe there's some slums or whatever. But as far as I'm concerned, he was put into the position that he's, mm-hmm. you know, and not to say he's not talented, not to say that he's not great, but there are people above him that are making moves. And this all started in the early 80s, and it started by some rich white men who said, this is the direction that, I'm almost even scared to talk about this, to be honest with you. This is the direction that we are going to take hip hop. And the reason why we are going to make sure that hip hop goes in this direction is because we're going to promote guns and violence and all this stuff, because our agenda is to keep these private prison systems full. Private prison systems being full, money comes in from the government to these private prison systems to keep these the funding going, and all these big corporations, they're actually for the private prison system. So whenever you have an inherently group of people that just wants to stay bad and stay doing drugs and stay shooting each other, and they really promote this violence, like it's promoted in these songs. These people are talking about shooting each other, doing drugs, prostitution. Why do we glorify that so much? Why is it being glorified? It's being glorified because they want you to want that as well, so that they can keep you suppressed. So I feel like I have been put, because I liked hip hop, I like rap, so I follow these people. And if they're going to say all these curse words and all these bad things, and then it's going to be in my head, you know what I mean? It's
subconscious,
it's just they steered hip hop in that direction and made sure it went down that path. Now what you're seeing is all of these people are being exposed. My hopes in this will be that people that are independent artists, musicians, artists as far as painters, movie directors, people that aren't in these elite Hollywood groups, maybe they get some shine. Maybe it's time that some independent filmmakers get the glory that they deserve, because maybe they're being shunned because they're not part of a certain group. So what happens is when you start deplatforming these really big people that are regulating these industries, then you start seeing some real diversity. There's actual diversity out there. These people that are promoting just their people, like let's just make Usher big, or let's just make Bieber big, or those people were picked out and then made to be who they were. Whereas if we deplatform those people that are doing really horrible, nasty, bad things, maybe some really good people will come up. And maybe this is the time where the whole industry is shaken up, whether it's music, entertainment, film. Good. Shake it up and get rid of the bad people. Yeah, and then maybe
get rid of that low hanging fruit.
Well, it's just the truth shall prevail. Like, the truth shall prevail, straight up. And no more should these people be suppressed, or a group of people be suppressed. It should be
fair game.
They should have the same opportunities right. that every other group of people has. You know, they shouldn't be think that gun violence and violence is our way. Like that's our people's way. It's like, no, it's not. It's not that you've been tricked into thinking that.
Yeah.
You've been tricked into thinking that selling drugs, violence, and doing all this stuff is like the mentality. And you think that's the culture, but that's the culture that they invented.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we have all been sold something that isn't real. Mm-hmm. And that's the most upsetting thing about all this. When you see this beef with Drake and Kendrick, people can compare it to the East Coast, West Coast of Biggie and Tupac. Okay, well, what happened with Biggie and Tupac? Tupac got shot. He died. Then what happened? Biggie got shot. He died. Why did these two guys get shot and died? Is it because two guys are just right? Those guys used to be best friends. Why did they both end up murdered?
I don't know. You said something about people want to kill these people because...
It's because they're profiting off of it.
Take their rights to their music and stuff.
These people are profiting off of young black men dying in the street because they have the rights to their music, and those albums are going to produce $20-30 million. And then whenever that person has gone away, They don't have to deal with that young teenage man anymore. They can collect the money off of their albums, and then they send a big fat check to the family once a year.
Yeah, I don't know. You are way more into that than I am. I mean,
it's because it's and I'm not. I mean, I guess I'm a little worried to talk about it, but the fact that I can put this together as a person sitting here on my couch and know all this information, you have to know that people that are higher up know all this stuff too. You know,
oh yeah,
the information is known.
I don't know how it goes so deep. It goes so wide. I just don't know if it'll ever be resolved.
The thing is, the truth will prevail.
Yeah. But I think what somehow it always happens or gets exposed is it always comes back to some sort of child trafficking, sex trafficking, minors. Like, why does it always have to come back to like pedophilia all the time? Why is it always a thing?
Because in my opinion, whenever you have the utmost power to be able to do anything, what is it that you do if you have ultimate power and control? You do the things that you're not supposed to do. And that's the number one thing that you shouldn't do is mess with kids. And so when you are able to do anything and everything and get away with it, that's the stuff that they reflect back to because they've done everything else. Mm-hmm. And it's sick to think about, but it's true. It's like,
it is. Yeah. It's like the forbidden fruit.
And the thing that I, you know, heard with the whole Epstein stuff was like the way he would do it would be, you guys are playing poker and you're in a poker game. And I could see how he brings this upon people slowly. It's a slow trickle. You know, it's you're playing poker with your boys. You got a cigar, maybe a drink, and drinks running out. And, you're deep in a hand of poker, you got thousands on the table, and someone brings you a drink, and it's a topless girl, and she's just working the party or whatever it is. And oh wow, this girl's kind of young, you know. It's like, well, are you so offended that you're going to get up and leave all the money on the table? Or you're, you know, it's like, no, I'm probably gonna finish out this hand, you know. It's not that bad. I mean, she had her top off, I got a drink. But then you don't know that he's filming all this stuff. And then later on down the line, he's like, yeah, I remember that drink you got from that cocktail waitress. Well, she's 15 years old and I got that on tape. And, you know, and then so that's when it becomes, and people are like, oh, I'll do whatever you need me to do. And yep. So
do you think that's what P. Diddy is?
So when you think about it, you think he's worth $1 or $2 billion. You're like, gosh, dang, that dude's rich. Well, the people above him, some of those companies were worth $80 billion. So if he's that bad, how bad is someone that has $80 billion or a company that has $80 billion? What are they doing? It's in my opinion that Diddy is obviously an informant for the feds. And for
obviously,
it's very obvious when someone comes into your home. Let's say it's whoever, police, local police, a federal DA, whatever. If they come into your home and then they leave and you're not under arrest, then what does that tell you?
You have special.
It tells you either A, you're not doing anything wrong, which why would they be at your place if you're not doing anything wrong? So that's a bust, doing something wrong. You're not under arrest. That means you haven't broken any laws. Or that means that you're in compliance with whatever it is that they need from you. They said they talked to him and they let him go. Okay, well, that means he talked to him and they think that for whatever reason that it's okay for him to be free. Mm-hmm. So that means that he is complying with whatever it is that they're asking. So it's in my opinion that he has been working with them or someone up high up for a long time, giving them information as to whatever information is that they need.
Like they would do this whole grandiose thing, maybe it was just for the media, of going in and raiding his house. If he was really working with them,
whatever,
they would just silently, slowly come out, as opposed to, oh, we went and raided his house.
Well, here's the thing. When high up in the Secret Service or secret agencies, you have a bunch of different people that work for them. There's not like, you know, 10 or 15 people that are running this. There's hundreds of people that work for a secret agency. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's 5 or 10 that are in cahoots with Diddy, or four or five that are running a certain operation. Everything is very compartmentalized. Mm-hmm. So other people within the agency might not even know that he is an informant. Does that make sense? Everything is so compartmentalized that now these cases have gotten so big, they're causing public attention. That's why other people within the agency might start looking at him, whereas they weren't looking at him before because there was a handful of them that know we're getting information from him, so we're going to leave him alone.
But wouldn't, before you raided his house, wouldn't the people that did know have to be informed? His house.
Maybe they were the ones to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and then those people say, we need these tapes. So-and-so, our friend went in there and was doing this, and you need to get that tape back before it comes out.
Definitely sketch that he is not in trouble. I mean, it's been, I don't know, a couple months now, and there's really been no more news about it as far as what is in it for him, as far as what's going to happen to him. So why is that?
Why he hasn't been arrested?
Why hasn't he been in trouble at all? Not even arrested.
You answered your own question. It's because he's an informant. I'm serious.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what happens. So what happens? Yeah, that's what happens with people that make a deal with the government or whatever.
Make a deal when this happens? Like, okay.
No. He made a deal a long time ago. 25, 30 years ago. If you remember, and if you go back to, this wasn't Rock the Vote, but it was called Vote or Die. Do you remember Vote or Die?
No.
Guess who was running that campaign? Guess who was a part of that? Diddy. Vote or Die. So he was in cahoots with a lot of people in the Democratic Party. I mean, take what you will from that. Mm-hmm. So he has a lot of people that are high up that are friends.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So,
like I said, it goes so deep and wide. We could do a whole episode on this topic, especially since you're so well versed in it now. I mean,
I just think that, like, you know, it's funny that the Kendrick and Drake thing is getting so much attention. It's like, these are just two artists that are talking shit about each other. You know, that's really what's happening.
That's happened before, right? With other artists.
But it's just crazy that it's happening at the time when these record labels are under a lot of heat for some bad allegations. Mm-hmm. So
it's, you think it's a coincidence?
It could be. It could be all, you know.
Premeditated?
Yeah. You can guarantee that whatever is being said on the news or whatever is being told out in public,
it's supposed to be a distraction.
It's just not always the truth. Why would we come up and tell you guys everything that's going on, exactly how it is? That it's not beneficial to them.
I think a lot of the news is just a distraction. Like, why would they all of a sudden come out and say, oh yeah, we know about aliens? What? Of course you do. You've been knowing about it, but for some reason right now you want to cover something else up. Like during COVID, they started talking about aliens. What? Oh, we have footage of UFOs. Everything's a distraction to get you to turn your mind to that and turn it away from something else.
Right. Absolutely.
So that's why I mentioned, like, why would they make the P. Diddy thing such a big deal? It made it very, very public. So they're obviously trying to hide something else.
Well, they're making it look like they're going after him, but he's working with them. Or he has worked with them.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what happens with the Kendrick and Drake. If they'll hug it out or if they'll continue.
No, Kendrick's pissed off. You don't piss off a dude from Compton. That didn't work out well. Seriously. I mean,
you know, Drake, he used to be in a wheelchair, so he's probably.
I think he played like that, right?
He's probably really pissed too. He used to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Well, I think he's made.
Degrassi. I've never watched that show. That was like a Canadian-based show. Canadian soap opera, right?
I don't know.
Oh, you never watched it?
That was your boy and not mine.
So I thought Kendrick's real last name?
K. you told me. You said that the other day, I think. But should we say it? We probably shouldn't say it on air. We're going to get a beef rap track against us. We're gonna get laid out and
anyways, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But if Kendrick's your boy, you would probably know his last name.
Well, he's not my boy either, but I like his stuff.
Yeah.
No, I think he's a legitimate artist. I think Drake was a really good lyricist too, but now I think it's like one of those things when you're a money machine, And you're just like kind of put into this role, kind of like Taylor Swift. Like Taylor Swift is such a money making thing that like you can't stop the momentum, yeah. so to speak. Like there's probably at least 100 people that make sure that she goes on when she's supposed to go on, yeah. and that, yeah. you know, the show must go on. Oh, yeah. So I wanted to talk about our Thunder. You got an orange shirt on and I got my Thunder hat.
Let's do it.
Is that why you're wearing your orange shirt?
It's like red orange, but no,
it's orange.
Can you talk about it? Thunder.
So last night we both fell asleep.
Well, it started at 9:30 p.m.
When you live out here on the East Coast, sometimes those games start late, and the Thunder and Dallas Mavericks started last night at 9:30. So we had to wake up and watch some highlights, but the Thunder pulled it out. They just closed out a series 4-0 against.
Sweet. Yeah.
Who did they just beat? The
Pelicans.
The New Orleans Pelicans. Good job, Kayla.
I've been into these NBA playoffs.
Yeah, well, really it's because we got the Thunder, and they're awesome. And they're awesome because, okay, I want to talk about they're awesome because they're young, but they play like a team. Like, I haven't watched a ton of games this year, but I've watched them. First off, they're really good. They're talented. They just play together. And they have probably like 8 or 9 guys that can just hoop. Whereas typically the league is like, it started years ago, but with Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce with the Celtics, they got the big three is what they called them. And they got those three guys and they went and won a championship. Well, then I think teams have been modeled like that for so long now. It's like, get the three biggest names, get the biggest stars, and then we're going to make a run at it. So people have started modeling their teams like that in the NBA.
You want three of the best.
So, and then what did LeBron do? LeBron went to Miami. You get LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Ray Allen, you know? So it was like, but
was
now.
It Ray Allen or was it
Chris Bosh?
Yeah, Chris Bosh. Yeah.
Yeah,
Chris Bosh. Like that was three.
So.
It's brushing up on my NBA knowledge.
So now I like Sam Presti in the fact that he's got all these young dudes that he's got from picks. From Paul George, when we traded Paul George, we got a ton of picks, five first round picks. And we got SGA, who was the point guard for the Celtics at the time, who's crushing it right now. So I think it's awesome that we have 8 or 9 guys deep that we can run with. And we run a little bit smaller. Like we don't have a huge, we have Chet. That's a kind of like a stretch five. If you say it, like he plays outside and he can shoot, but they're so talented and so fun to watch, and they have each other's back. And I think that's why they're going to hopefully beat the Mavericks is because they play together. They don't play this one-on-one stuff. They can if they have to, but they have two really good lockdown defenders, and they go at your best players, and they just challenge them. And that's like that old-school mentality, that hard-nosed defense that, like, guys in the NBA sometimes – the last few years have been soft and they just want to score more points than you and they don't want to play on the other end of the ball. And now we got these young kids that are just like going after it.
It's just funny. I feel like Oklahoma City is just like this. I don't know if it's Oklahoma and small town and Southern, whatever, but do you see how they do all their interviews together and not separate?
Which is awesome. Like, you'll watch all the other teams in the league and they don't do that. But when one person's getting interviewed, that, you know, 7 or 8 guys come up around and they all got their arms around each other and they get made fun of by other teams thinking like, you guys are corny. And, you know, it's like, they're like, man, we all hang out with each other. We're all friends. Like, there's a lot of dynamics in the locker rooms within other teams that some guys been in the league for 12 or 13 years or 15, 16 seasons. I'm like, if you're, let's say like Chris Paul or someone, these veteran players is like, man, I've been doing this 18 years, 17 years. You're going to come in here as a rookie and like, you know, no, you're carrying my bags. Like as rookies, sometimes you're supposed to carry bags and like there's traditions and stuff like that in NBA. But with them, they don't have any of that hierarchy stuff. Yeah. And they respect each other. And I think that's why they're going to win.
Yeah. They'll do good, I think.
Yes.
Let's see.
So Thunder up.
Thunder up. You wanted to talk about it.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Game one was last night. Game two is probably tomorrow. And check back in with our NBA stats.
Yes, let's do it.
Signing off.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.